This is Ian Pickus, and we're back in the Congressional Corner today with U.S. Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut, a Democrat in that office since 2013. Senator Murphy, welcome back.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Since we last talked, your predecessor in the Senate, Joe Lieberman, died at age 82. Wondering how you're remembering the former senator.
It was a real shock to Connecticut. Obviously, this happened very quickly. I had just seen him about a month earlier at a big national security conference in Munich, Germany. I think the state is in shock. This is someone who was a giant both of Connecticut politics and of national politics. Obviously, these days, you don't run into folks as independent-minded as Joe Lieberman was. It often maddened people that they couldn't sort of put him into one box, liberal, conservative, Republican, Democrat. I obviously had deep disagreements with him on many important issues, but he did a lot of really great things for the state. And as I talked about at his funeral on Friday, his legacy is pretty remarkable. One of the earliest supporters of passing legislation to combat climate change, responsible for ending the discriminatory don't ask, don't tell policy at the Department of Defense, a very vocal supporter of women's rights and reproductive choice. He made his mark, and he did it with a grace and a kindness and a decency that is part of the reason why Connecticut was so proud to have him as our senator for a very long time. So, a controversial figure, no doubt about it, but somebody that Connecticut is going to remember. We're sad, and I'm sad that he's gone.
Was he somebody you talked to when you became a senator? Was he someone you checked in with for advice? Did he have an elder statesman role in the state? How did that work?
I have his seat. So when he retired, I was elected to fill his seat in the Senate. I actually sit in his physical desk on the Senate floor. I met with him when I first came to the Senate. We kept in touch over the years. Obviously, our politics didn't always line up. He's probably been most known over the last year or so to pushing this idea of a third party presidential candidate.
Yeah, you were not a fan of the no labels effort.
Not a fan of no labels. So I will not say that Senator Lieberman ended up being one of the people that I relied on very closely for advice. We kept in touch. We were very cordial over the years, but we never had a kind of mentor relationship. Chris Dodd, who I interned for when I was a young man in the Senate, it was somebody that I ended up being a little bit closer to on a personal basis, but always had and still do have an enormous respect for Joe and his entire operation.
Let me ask you this, and I apologize, it's kind of morose, but as a young senator, especially compared to many of your colleagues, did seeing Senator Lieberman's death and the celebration of him in Connecticut and in Washington make you think about your own legacy one day at all?
I mean, not really, but I think all of us, think about our legacy. I mean, I certainly have lots of moments when I'm facing a really tough decision and I, step back and try to think about how history will judge this moment, right? Well, was I blinded by temporary political reality? I think and I still think a lot about that formulation when looking at what's happening in Gaza today. Of course, I wanted to defeat Hamas. Of course, I want to make sure that they don't have the ability to attack Israel ever again. But I see the number of civilians, the number of children dying inside Gaza today, and I do think that history will judge unkindly those that stood by and didn't raise objections to the way in which Israel has conducted this campaign. So, yes, there are lots of moments where you do try to get a little bit distance from the decision you're making and ask yourself, how will this impact the way that people view my service a long time from now?
So since you've raised it, what should we do about the situation in Gaza right now?
Well, I believe that the most important thing is to get a negotiated long-term ceasefire that would allow the hostages to be removed. But that does not seem to be coming to fruition. And so I believe that Israel right now needs to suspend military operations because the humanitarian situation inside Gaza is just so abominable. Ultimately, I think it will harm Israel's ability to defeat Hamas if this number of civilians continue to die and be impacted by this war, because it will be a permanent recruiting tool for extremists all around the world, but particularly those that want to do harm to Israel. And I think the United States should use our leverage to try to impact Israel's decision making. So, you know, I do believe that the Biden administration does have an obligation to hold back new military aid until more humanitarian access is allowed into Gaza.
Is the sea corridor for humanitarian aid that President Biden talked about at the State of the Union having the desired effect so far?
Well, it's in formation right now. It's an important additional route to get aid into Gaza, but it can not overcome completely the decision making of the IDF and Israeli forces that have frustrated the ability to get aid into the country. And of course, no matter how much aid you get in, if there's still widespread bombing, the aid groups can't distribute the aid. So part of the reason why we need a temporary halt in military operations is so that you can distribute aid throughout Gaza. Right now, aid can get in, but then it just sits at these ports because there's no way to know whether you're going to be able to survive transporting water or flour or bread from one part of Gaza to the next when the bombs are falling every single day.
Now, Benjamin Netanyahu says Israel still needs several weeks to defeat Hamas, and he's pointed to the fact that there are still Israeli hostages being held. How do you answer that?
Well, I just wish that Israel was more willing to learn from the mistakes of the United States. You cannot defeat a terrorist ideology with a military campaign. We tried that in Afghanistan, and after 20 years, the terrorist group we were trying to defeat, the Taliban, was stronger, not weaker. In Iraq, we got rid of Saddam Hussein fairly quickly, but then we essentially helped to create a brutal terrorist organization, ISIS, because of our occupation and the resistance that grew inside Iraq because of our occupation. And so this idea that you can defeat Hamas with a military campaign, I just think misunderstands the nature of terrorism. And ultimately what I think is going to happen here is that the tens of thousands of civilians that have been killed will become a permanent rallying cry for extremists all throughout the Middle East that want to do damage to Israel, and Israel will not be safe. I would have much preferred a more targeted campaign going after Hamas's senior leadership. That did not happen. And ultimately, I'm worried that the way in which Netanyahu has pursued this campaign is ultimately going to lead to more threats, not less threats, against Israel in the long run.
Senator Chris Murphy is a Democrat from the state of Connecticut. And when we come back the next time, Senator Murphy, let's pick it up right here.